You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In the wilderness, Jesus himself said to Satan, "Go, it is written, the Lord your God you will worship, and him alone you will serve." To many people, that sounds like a dull way to live. Actually, worshiping the Lord and serving him in all of life is both a duty and a delight. I know it doesn't always look that way when we observe how some Christians live their lives. A little girl prayed, "Dear Lord, please make all the bad people good and all the good people kind." A cartoon in the New Yorker magazine showed people coming out of church after a service. Everyone is fighting with everyone else. One lady is even hitting the minister on the head with her umbrella. A man and wife passing by on the other side of the street observed the scene, and she said to her husband, "Goodness, what do you suppose the pastor's message for a troubled world was this time?" Jesus did not invite people to be like us, but to be like him. He called them to faith in God, with service toward God as the best and maybe the only evidence of faith in him. "Follow that route," said Jesus. "It's both a duty and a delight." It was a duty and delight for Jesus to follow the will of his Father in heaven. That's how Jesus became the person he was, the Son of the living God and the man who was to be the mediator between God and men. Duty was his delight. The living God does not come and go. The gods people have set up on a pedestal for themselves have come and gone. The Caesars, who set themselves up as gods and called themselves divine, from Augustus on down to the end of the Roman Empire, died. They accepted the worship due to God alone. They died, like all other human gods. Sports figures and movie stars are idolized today all over the world. Everybody is supposed to know about them, and trivia games pay attention mostly to them. A really popular god is money. More often than not, money proves to be a disappointing god. It does not assure of happiness. When it comes right down to it, Paul said, the love of money is a root of every kind of evil. No creature deserves to be number one in your life, not even yourself. Only the Creator has the right to be first. When you put him into second or third place or somewhere else down the line, you're the loser. Famous people who forsook God to achieve their ambitions found it out for themselves, often in the public eye. Those who are not so famous find out for themselves in those moments when they wonder what life is all about. The prince of this world got it straight from the mouth of Jesus. The Lord your God you will worship, and him alone you will serve. It's a duty all of us have to worship the Lord God, who sustains both heaven and earth. It's a delight to worship and to serve him. All of us have to find that out for ourselves. The idea comes from the mouth of the Son of God and the Savior of the world. But we have to find out for ourselves that the duty of worship and of service toward God is a real delight, putting new spring into the step and new light into the eyes. The Lord God made the earth, along with the sun, the moon, and the stars. Don't tell me that all of this came about merely by accident. The energy poured by the sun into the earth to keep things alive. The atmosphere around the earth to keep everything from being burned up. If the earth were to shift on its axis, even 2 degrees in either direction, I'm told, life as we know it would probably become impossible on earth. Even the angle at which the rays of the sun strike the earth is important to God. When it comes right down to it, the Almighty God is the source of all we have and enjoy. The beauty of nature, the pleasure of music, the warmth of love and friendship, and a thousand other things that bring us joy. If we worship anything other than God, we worship a lie. The first commandment of God is, have no other gods besides me. God himself set a Sabbath so the people could rest from their labors and worship him. It gives people opportunity to meet him regularly and worship, to hear his word and to pray. It helps people to grow in that word, for his word gives strength and wisdom. People who carry out this duty to God make a great discovery. The Holy Spirit of God fills their hearts with delight to match that duty. Even the Sabbath, however, can be turned into a legalistic observance when people get the idea that somehow they're going to do something that will earn God's favor. Grace comes from God, and gratitude goes to him for his gift of life. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, says God. People do not do themselves a favor when they rest on the Sabbath and do not remember God the giver. Religious people sometimes fall into the trap, too, of making the Sabbath only a duty without any delight at all. They argue about which day should be the Sabbath. They lay down regulations about the Sabbath, introducing apprehension and taking away the joy of it all. When Jesus was criticized for violating the regulations of the Sabbath, he replied quietly, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." The Son of Man, the one God sent to be the Savior of the world, knew exactly what it all meant. The Lord your God you will worship, and him alone you will serve. God's will that you worship him has not changed. The majority of us have the capacity to talk. If we would never talk to anyone, life would not be complete. God offers you the capacity not just to talk to him, but to communicate with him. He talks to you, and he wants you to talk to him. When people fail to communicate with God, they fail to listen to him. Passing by the opportunity to worship and praise him, they live incomplete lives. That accounts as much as anything for the lack of happiness and the joylessness that disturb the lives of people in every part of the world. God, who in times past spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken his ultimate word to the world in his Son, who, when he had by himself purged our sins, was set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When he speaks, the world had better listen. The Lord your God you will worship, and him only will you serve. All of us have times of discouragement. Those times usually result from our own dismal appraisal of situations. I've heard that Abraham Lincoln one night was the guest of an Illinois farmer. In the middle of the night, there came a phenomenon known as shooting stars. The heavens were filled with streaks of light from stars passing through the distant atmosphere. The farmer was frightened and cried out to the sleeping Lincoln, to whom people often turned instinctively for comfort, "Abe, get up, look out the window, the world is coming to an end." Lincoln quickly drew his long body out of bed and went to the window, put out his long neck and looked up at the sky. A smile spread over his face. He drew his head back into the room, put his arms around the shoulder of the farmer and said, "Don't be alarmed, go back to bed. There may be some shooting stars, but the great constellations still stand. Nations may seem to be falling apart. personal lives may be heavy with sorrow or other burdens, give thanks to God that the great constellations still stand. His finger is still on the pulse of the universe. His word still comes to the world with the authority of his mighty power. His power, coupled with his grace in the one whom he has sent, even Jesus Christ, strengthens human hearts that would otherwise be overcome. God is, and Jesus has come. Jesus died for the sins of the world, to be crowned with glory and honor by a Father who takes duty to be a delight. The life of Jesus, freely offered unto death for the waywardness and willfulness of the whole world, brings the good news of life and salvation with faith in God and love for him. Forgiveness by the grace of God for the sake of Jesus Christ, his Son, turns the hearts of people toward God again, bringing them close to his fatherly heart. Jesus suffered once the just for the unjust, said Peter, to bring us to God. Duty can become mere drudgery or be a genuine delight. Duty that is a constant drudgery eventually withers and dies. Duty that is a constant delight gives sparkle to all of life. Faith in Christ means believing that God saves you. It's confidence that you are loved by God himself. If his love doesn't melt your heart, what will? People are changed from icebergs of self-righteousness into warm people with forgiving love. Those who listened to Christ heard him gladly. What news could be better than the good news of Jesus Christ? The good news of Jesus produces a new sense of duty, the joyful duty to worship God with genuine delight in serving him. Not in bitterness, but with joyful laughter that sees human life for what it is and worships God for who he is. A little boy climbed up on the knee of Bishop Taylor Smith and said, "I love you very much." With a twinkle in his eye, the bishop asked, "How do you know you love me?" The child replied simply, "Because I like to be close to you." Love wants to be near. It's a duty for a husband to love his wife. It is also a delight. It is duty for parents to love their children, but it can be the greatest delight. It's duty to love those who do not deserve love. By the grace of God, that kind of love brings delight to the lives of other people, as the love of God produces delight in their hearts toward you. Genuine love does not ask so much what has to be done. It asks what can be done. Christ is not only Lord of the Sabbath, he is the Lord of life. Paul wrote to the Romans, "As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too should walk in newness of life." There is resurrection in Christ. Resurrection to life. The delight of it is for you, as the Almighty God, by his mighty word, moves your heart to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. Duty simply becomes delight with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. It did that for someone like Paul, and it will do that for you. You may plan to work for a corporation for 40 years. But you'll not be much of a workman and probably won't last for 40 years if you keep wondering about what your future assignments are going to be and neglect the ones you have the next 8 hours or during the next week. A coffee break does not make work a delight. What does delight is to get the work out faithfully with integrity. Honesty can get you into trouble sometimes. But the Lord God sees to it that even the trouble becomes a delight. One day the disciples of Jesus were at their business of fishing. They worked all night and hadn't caught anything. They had a bad day on the lake. Muttering and complaining to themselves, they heard Jesus say to them, "How about throwing the nets in on the other side?" They obeyed and had one of the best days of their lives. We often do the same. It's never the right time. We're too young, too old, too tired, too poor, too rich, too sick, too busy. Some other time will be better. It can be put off until tomorrow. Duty that brings delight is the duty that is carried out today. Duty becomes spirited and enthusiastic when duty becomes delight. Love, presence, and power are exhilarating when duty becomes delight. What once was a burden becomes an honor when duty becomes delight. No one has done as much for you as Jesus did. For the joy that was set before him, he endured a cross, forgetting about the shame, and now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Nothing you can ever do will begin to repay him for what he has done for you. Your best every day is hardly good enough for the great and gracious God who sent Jesus to be your Savior. Open up to God, my friend, and to the good news of Jesus Christ. Look toward God with faith in Jesus Christ. It will make all the difference in the world, the difference between day and night. Faith gives strength for today and hope for tomorrow. It provides purpose for living with forgiveness and eternal life that come from God with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Make your duty toward him a delight with gratitude and enthusiasm. That's the way faith works. It's being near to God, being like Christ. Do all you can for him as he's done all he absolutely could for you. Worship God. Delight in serving him. Be his man or woman, his boy or girl. Keep yourself, as the Apostle Jude once said, in the love of God. Come to Calvary's holy mountain and find rest for your soul. Wade out then into the world, cleansed, refreshed, and strengthened. Let everyone who meets you see how duty becomes delight, because you know something. You know someone. It's an honor to know him. It's a delight to know him. Take his name on your lips and give him thanksgiving from your heart. Do your duty today with delight in the living God. He remembered his son Jesus, and he remembers you. Remember him. The Lord your God you will worship, and him alone you will serve. Amen.